It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Aren't you interested in learning breakthrough wealth building strategies, such as how to flip a home in less than 2 weeks using other people's money with no real estate license, or how to build a low-cost home-based business? You can discover how to take passive income from any source and invest it into real estate, stocks, or business to become financially independent investing in any market with Residual Roads Business Institute. Collaborate with Andre and other Residual Roads advisors to create a free action plan and start implementing strategies today. Go to www.residualroads.com or email info@residualroads.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Welcome to Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And today we're going to talk about quite a few different things. I'm getting a little annoyed by the government lately. And so we're going to talk about never let a crisis go to waste. The government's clearly taking advantage of that. So if you listen to my podcast, clearly you're interested in investing and changing your life in some form. So what I say today may hurt your feelings or it may not. I mean, you might have the same views I do if you listen to this podcast, because the stuff that is affecting me is obviously going to affect you at some point if it's not affecting you right now, if you are thinking about getting into investing. Let's hop into it real quick. Never let a good crisis go to waste. You can probably look that up. That's been used quite a few times over the past couple of years because there's always some kind of crisis going on. And so a lot of people try to take advantage of these crises and, you know, make money from it. Or you should, or you could benefit in some way. Either you're going to benefit from a crisis or you're going to not benefit from a crisis. And the governments all over the world are clearly benefiting from the crisis. So we're going to talk about the U.S. government and what they're doing. So, you know, obviously they printed more money and they're using COVID as an excuse to create an inflation so they can pay off all their debt. You know, we've been in a ginormous debt situation for a long time. And so I don't know if the government, you know, knew how they were going to get out of the situation. But luckily for them, COVID happened. And so now, oh my God, they're riding this COVID situation to the ground. You know what I mean? So the government is printing money to basically inflate away their debts, because if the dollar is worthless, then they can pay off the debt a lot faster. You know what I mean? So if you can convince a person that you're doing something that's in their best interest, then they're obviously going to be on board for whatever plan or agenda that you have. And so them saying, oh, we're going to give you $1,400 a month, or, oh, we're going to give you $600, or whatever their plan is on how they're, you know, controlling the narrative, thinking that they're doing stuff that's in our best interest, but they're not. Because what I don't think people understand is, I talk about this a lot, it's just understanding basic economics. If they give us, you know, say for instance, this last package was 1.9. And then they gave us, I think it was $1,400. But with them printing that $1.9 trillion, it made the currency worth less. So if the currency is worth less, that means their purchasing power is less. And so if they gave you $1,400 and then you go to the store and a loaf of bread used to be, you know, $3, now it's worth $7. I mean, was it really worth it? Was it really worth them printing giving you the $1,400, and then you go to the store and that purchasing power of that $1,400 is less. And so they tell you that that 1.9 is a COVID relief package when in fact, I forgot how much it was. And I don't know what the billion was, but it wasn't like the package, the entire 1.9 went to the people. They used some of that money to do all kind of other stuff like that. But they just tell you, you know, such and such and such in the news, and then they run off and they do, you know, whatever with the rest of the money. Meanwhile, they want to blame it on the rich people. So I'm going to give you guys an example, and then you guys tell me what you think about it. So if I do my research and I understand the tax code and I understand that the government will give me tax credits or give me, you know, money back for certain things that I do, they're incentivizing me to do stuff that they don't want to do. So if you have opportunity zones where they say, hey, if you invest in opportunity zones, there's about 8,900 areas in the U.S. where if you decide to invest in these markets, you don't got to pay any taxes. So if I understand this, or if I know they give you tax credits for solar panels. So, you know, if it makes sense to get a solar farm or put solar panels on your house to get a tax credit, if I know all these different things, then it would make sense for me to go out here and do it. So if I know I can go out here and buy a land plot, like I've mentioned before, I'm using land because land, you can't get any more land, and land is kind of cheap in certain areas. So I keep bringing that up because I think that's a good opportunity for people, because we're in a 4 million home deficit. And at some point in time, builders are going to need to build. So if I go out here and I find, you know, some land plots and say, again, we're going to use the one I talked about in my last podcast where it's worth $75,000. So if I understand the tax code, and I know if I go out here and I buy land, and I buy, and I understand if people don't pay their property taxes, that is first lien position over any kind of loan. So I can just go and get a tax deed. Again, the government is going to give me 18% to go out here and buy this land. So boom, I know this. I go out here, I go online, I go to the, you know, the different counties, and I find a tax lien. I go out there and I buy it. That's already smart on my part. Boom, that's me doing my due diligence, go out here and find a good deal. Go out there, I get the deal, get the land for $5,000. I turn around and sell it for $75,000. Me understanding the tax code, I don't want to pay capital gains tax. Keep this capital gains that I'm talking about in mind, because I'm gonna touch on it later. So back to it, I sell the property for $75,000. I don't want to pay capital gains tax, because I don't want to pay taxes. So then I do a 1031 exchange to avoid paying taxes. So I then roll this $75,000 into another asset so I can avoid paying taxes. That's not illegal. I didn't harm anybody. I didn't take any money from a person that doesn't have. I didn't make anybody less rich. I didn't do anything. I followed the tax code that told me to go out there and do this. And if I did it, the incentive would be for me to not pay taxes, or for me to not, you know, lose any of my hard-earned money that I put up to get this in the first place. So I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not harming anybody. But on the other end, I'm the government, and I decide to print, I don't know, $1.9 trillion, and it causes gas to go up. It causes the price of a house to go up. It causes the price of food to go up. And I'm a person who doesn't have the money to buy anything like that. I'm a person that's, I'm already struggling, but now I got to go to the grocery store with this $400 or this, I mean, I'm sorry, this $1,400 to buy groceries. Groceries used to cost me, I don't know, $100. Now it's costing me $200 because the price is going up, because they printed money to supposedly give it to me to decrease the inequality gap. So because they printed money and gave it to me, it caused all these other assets to go up. So who is actually increasing inequality? Who's making the gap larger? The person who did his research, like myself, who went out here and found a land plot for $5,000 that the county didn't want anymore. So they let it go for $5,000. And then I turned around and I sold it and made $75,000. And then I did a 1031 exchange to not pay taxes on it because the government said that I should do that. And they won't tax me because I did something that they didn't want to do. They didn't want to keep the land plot. It was on their balance sheet. They didn't want to keep it. And so what did they tell me to go out here and do? That's what I did. So did I do any harm? Did I cause any harm to anyone? I actually helped the government out, and they paid me for helping them out. I didn't take money from anybody. That person that I bought the land from hadn't paid their taxes on it in 7 to 10 years. So they obviously didn't want it. So I didn't take it from him. Matter of fact, when I bought the tax deed, they sent him a letter saying, hey, this is going to be taken if you don't pay this by the certain date. He clearly didn't want it. Or maybe he didn't have the cash to pay it, or he doesn't even know because he's not here. But the fact of the matter is, I did somebody a favor by buying it. So who am I? Am I in the wrong that I just made 75 grand? So if I keep doing this and I keep making more money, who am I hurting? What am I doing to another person? I'm not doing anything. But if I'm the government and I'm telling you we're going to tax rich people because they are here doing stuff and they bad, they're creating the inequality gap. So we go, but even though they're creating an equality gap, we're going to give you money to bridge that gap. But while we give it to you, we're going to raise the price of the cost of living. So at the same time, they're telling you that they're trying to decrease the inequality gap. They're actually making it larger and larger, but they use the media to tell you differently. So they use a narrative to tell you that people that go out here and produce are the problem. If I create, you know, let's just use Amazon. I like using Amazon because it's a good example. If I create a company like Amazon and people love to use my product, I spent a long time doing it. I built it from scratch in my garage and now people are using it. Am I at fault for people buying something that I made? If you want to, let's simplify it. Let's go back. I was talking to my parents about this the other day. If we're stuck on an island and I make coffee and you make corn, I don't like corn, but you love my coffee. And so you come to me and say, hey, man, how about I give you some corn in exchange for your coffee? And it's like, well, I don't like corn, but if that's all you got to give me, I'm going to take it. So you give me the corn, I give you the coffee in exchange. Who has more? I'm going to obviously have more because I created the coffee and I gave you a small amount and now you gave me some of your corn. So if you come back to me again the next day and say, hey, I want some more coffee. If I'm giving you a small amount of coffee in exchange and you give me a certain amount of corn, I mean, the trade-off is there. So just because I created this coffee and you really like it a lot and you coming over here and you spending more and more, giving me more and more of your corn. I mean, whose fault is that? It's not my fault. You need to stop drinking coffee. So should I just be like, you know what? Even though I put the sweat in and I'm out here, you know, doing what I got to do to get these beans and get this coffee over to you, I should just give it to you without you giving me anything in exchange. I mean, so you can see, even if you do it on a small level like that, the inequality gap, if you're on an island and there's two producers and two consumers, if one person likes the stuff more than the other person, one person's automatically going to have more than the other person. And if you don't want to trade off the exact same because I don't eat corn, why would I be like, you know what? I'll give you the same amount of coffee in exchange for the same amount of corn. I mean, why would I do that? I don't even eat corn, but I'm not going to just give you the coffee for free. You know what I mean? I'll take a little bit of it just for the sake of it. But if I'm going to keep putting in more work and you keep drinking my coffee, I'm going to have to start charging you more. Because what's the benefit of me? Then I'm just out here working and, you know, giving you coffee for free. That's how simple it is. So if you look at it, it's not like the people that are out here producing and creating things that other people want are evil people. That person is just creating something that somebody else wants to buy. So they're not doing anything wrong. So again, if you use example, you coming over here and you want all my coffee, I'm going to have to ramp up my production and keep giving you coffee. So if you keep going to Amazon and spending more money, he has to ramp up his production to make sure that you can get your product. He ain't doing anything wrong. He's actually trying to, you know, serve the consumer. And with that, he's considered an evil person when he's just out of here trying to make everybody else's life better. And so they play this narrative that rich people are bad people. But the rich people or the people that make money or the people that don't pay taxes are just doing exactly what the government wants you to do. They're incentivizing you to go out there and do what they don't want to do. And the people that don't, they take the money from them. I'm saying, so I was talking to my parents about this. I was like, well, take, for instance, your cousin. My cousin's a house cleaner. And so she's only making, I don't know, like $200 a week or something like that, he was telling me. And he's like, well, at the end of the year, she got to pay the IRS. And I'm like, well, what about her? I said, well, you got a person, I said, well, do you think a doctor and a person that cleans the house should make the same amount of money? Are they producing the same amount for the economy? Are they producing the same amount as far as, like, you know, contributing to society? Can they be replaced? You can replace somebody who's cleaning the house, but you can't go out here and replace a heart surgeon. So there's no comparison. So you're going to have the inequality because it's based on production. So I was saying, well, if she's not making a lot of money and she got to pay the IRS, that's because she's not doing what they want her to do. She's a U.S. citizen, so she has to contribute. She has to be a contributing member to society. And if she's just working for somebody else, she's contributing to that business. But they want people to go out here and start businesses and employ people and be a benefit to society. So that's why they give tax credits for people to start businesses and things like that. So if you start any kind of LLC, you can go out here and sell juice as a sole proprietor and you're going to get tax break. You can write off your haircut. You can write off everything because the government wants you to be a productive individual in society to make it better. And if you don't do that, they're going to tax you. That's just the cost of being a U.S. citizen. And so I don't think people understand that. So the people that are producing, they get all these advantages because they're giving jobs and they're providing resources to the economy for it to keep going. And so I think there's a disconnect with people understanding that everything's based on production. But what the government's trying to do now, and this happened because of stuff that happened way back in the day, and it just steamrolled with the welfare system and things like that. They started printing money and they started something that they can't stop doing. And so now they're trying to tax the producers way more because they got to get the money from somewhere. So if you got a whole bunch of people that you're trying to pay for and take care of, and you got to keep printing money to do that, you got to get the money from somebody. And so you're going to get it from the producers because they're the only people you can get it from. And so that's the issue that I'm having with the U.S. government right now. And it's going on. I mean, the same thing is going on in Colombia, but the difference between the U.S. and Colombia, and that's why they had this whole huge protesting going on in Colombia, man, it's out of control over there. They're taxing everybody, individuals, they're taxing everybody. In the U.S., they're only taxing people that make a certain amount of money. And so that's the difference between what I was telling my boy, that's the difference between what's going on in Colombia and what's going on in the U.S. because the people only getting affected right now, supposedly, is what they tell you. So based on what the narrative is, on what majority of people think, the only people that are getting taxed are the people that got a lot of money because they're not understanding economics. With the cost of goods going up and people paying more for many things, houses, food, they're getting taxed too. They're getting taxed way worse than a person who has the real estate, who has the $1 million, because we understand the tax code. We understand what we're doing. So even if you try to do all these different things and tax rich people, I know for myself, I do a lot of research on all these things. So I understand the tax code. So I understand what I can do because I understand the blueprint. I'm just following the blueprint that the government gives. They always come out with something new. So you just got to do your research and try to figure out what they're coming out with something new. Now, they're trying to go to green energy. So if you know this, then why don't you go out here and start a solar farm to take advantage of that? So they're always going to be something that the government doesn't want to do. They're going to incentivize other people to do. So you can go out here, I mean, the government can go out here and start taxing and taking away capital gains tax. I mean, increasing capital gains tax. They're talking about taking away the 1031 exchange. And I'll get to that in a minute, too. They're trying to do all these different things, but they're going to have to come up with something else to give us incentives to keep producing. Because if they keep doing what they're doing, there's not going to be any incentive for anyone to produce. And that's going to really be bad for the economy. So if you guys understand these things like that, you'll understand the blueprint of what you have to do to not pay taxes or to get more money, because they're basically telling you exactly what to do. And so my point is, they're taking advantage of this crisis, and they're probably going to do it for a long time. What people don't know is they're telling you guys something different. So the example of Colombia with them protesting because they're increasing taxes on everybody. If they increase taxes on the regular people in the U.S., people that aren't rich, the same thing will be going on. So, you know, people can look at other countries and be like, man, it's third world country. They're over there wilding out. But we did the same thing. We had a whole summer of protesting and, you know, acting crazy over certain things that are going on in the U.S. And nothing was going on in Colombia. So now it seems like we've flipped places because, you know, now they're protesting over there because of the tax reform. And people over here will be doing the same exact thing if they realize what was happening, but they don't. And the government is obviously controlling what goes on in the media and what the narrative is. So people have no idea what's happening to them right before their eyes. You know what I mean? Like I was telling my dad the same thing. If you look back at maybe when I, you know, a couple years ago, and a loaf of bread might have been like 90 cents. I went to the store the other day and a loaf of bread cost me $7. I remember when gas was 50 cents. Gas is now $4. So you can see the purchasing power of the dollars decreasing. So people just don't get it. If you go to the bank and you got $100 in the bank, you put the $100 in the bank, it's still going to read $100. In nominal values, what is that? What is that though? In our actuality. So just because your digital reader says $100, it's not in fact $100 because your purchasing power is decreasing. So people are not looking at the values of their money the right way. So they don't see what's happening to them right before their eyes. And it's amazing. So the people that are being taken advantage of are the people that the government so-called trying to help. So they're not decreasing inequality. They're making it worse. They're the ones making it worse, not the other people out here that are doing exactly what the government wants them to do. But now them saying never let a crisis go to waste, I think they're going to ruin the U.S. because they're doing all of these different things that are driving people that are producers out of the country. I myself, I'm really, 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 really contemplating giving them my citizenship. If they get rid of the 1031 exchange, because obviously I'm in real estate, that's going to affect my business extremely because you're rolling over your gain so you don't have to pay taxes. So they're trying to get rid of that to just take more money from me from doing anything. Like if I sit behind my computer, you know, till 2 or 3 in the morning trying to find a good deal, I'm putting up work in, I'm producing to get that. I'm not doing anything to anybody. Then I go out there and I find it. I fly to Florida or wherever I have to make sure I'm getting the right deal. And then I get a deal and I sell it. I mean, why should the government feel like if I made, you know, $100,000, why do they get $49,000? I mean, why would, that's just not right. How's that even fair? How does anyone even think that's fair for someone to be putting all the work in that you put in and it's just taken away just because? Man, that's not cool. So I'm really, really contemplating on giving up my citizenship and moving on and going somewhere else. I mean, if I got a visa, my visa would be 10 or 15 years. There's no big difference. You know what I mean? I'll still be able to come over here and move and do what I want to do. I just won't have to pay all these stupid taxes for no reason. You know what I mean? I won't have to go through all of this stuff. And people think it's not going away. It's only going to get worse because we were already at a 1.7.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We're at a $1.7 trillion deficit at the start of the year, but we're already, prior to that, we're at a $6 trillion deficit. So they just took it up to $8 and they're going to keep going because Joe Biden's trying to do another $2 million. So we're going to take it up to $10. I hope y'all don't think
that the rich people can pay for all of this. It's not happening, man. The rich people can't pay for all of this. And they ain't going to pay for all of it because they know the loopholes because they're doing what the government's telling them to do. So who's going to pay for it? They're going to keep increasing the cost of goods and everything else. So the person who doesn't have it is not going to have it. They're going to continue to not have it. And it ain't got nothing to do with anything else. It's just like, who's going to take the initiative to go out here and educate themselves on how to not be the person being taken advantage of? So never let a good crisis go to waste. Now I'm going to talk about that on the good side. You know, I mean, I just broke that down to you, what the government's doing to you. But now I'm going to tell you guys how to do good for yourself. I think you guys need to really sit down and understand economics, because once you do that, you'll know how to never let a good crisis go to waste. So with what the government's doing, if you have a business, you can take advantage of all the spending that they're doing. And so if you understand their agenda, which is to get their debt paid off, then you know that you need to be getting into assets, because the more money they print, the higher assets are going to go. And is it true that the assets are going up, or is it true that your money is being worth less? So you got to think about that when you're buying something. You gotta be like, well, based on the price of oil or based on the price of Bitcoin or based on other assets, what's the value of what I'm buying? That's how you do it. You can't really base it off what your dollar amount is, because your dollar is depreciating. So it's being worth less and less. So obviously everything is going to cost more because your currency is worth less. And this goes on for other countries as well. So to never let a good crisis go to waste, I think you should figure that part out, so then you'll know how to navigate. So if I were you, I would just be hopping in assets. I will be getting in other countries. And the end is near for the U.S. Look at the social unrest. Look at everything that's going on. So as you're making money right now, I will slowly start to, like, for instance, you can go to Colombia and put, you know, $25,000 up and get a business visa. So you don't have to go over there. And I think I talked about it in one of my podcasts, you have to put up $90,000 to get a 3-year visa. Just, you know, that's with buying real estate, but you can just drop $25,000 and get a business visa. So this is just Colombia. I love Colombia. That's obviously where I'm going to go and move and become a citizen of, more than likely. Or I might find, you know, another country that has some better tax laws. So it may not be Colombia, but it'll be somewhere along the Caribbean. And then I'll just have a visa in Colombia and a visa in the U.S. So I think you should start doing your research on where to go next, because there's going to be another crisis. There has to be another crisis, because we're getting more and more over leveraged with debt, and they're paying people to not work with the unemployment, and that's creating deflation. And at some point in time, if the government decides to stop printing money, the economy is going to tank. So will they do that? Who knows? But at some point in time, they're going to have to do something, because this can't go on like this. It's just impossible to do that. So when that happens, we're going to have another crisis. So if you understand all the stuff that I'm saying right now, when the next crisis hits, you can take advantage of that one too. We're still in an economic crisis, whether people know it or not. We're still in one, but it's just going to get worse when the next one comes. So right now, what I'll be doing is taking advantage of this one, because, you know, people are still working from home. There's just a bunch of stuff that's still shut down. There's still a lot of, you know, sectors you can get in, like commodities. I keep saying that are going to be real good. So start trying to figure out how to diversify your portfolio. Start trying to figure out what country you want to go to next. You got to have a plan B. So, you know, you need to figure out what kind of country you want to go to. So start. Right now, by opening up a bank account and putting small increments of money into this country that you want to go to. So you already kind of have a relationship with a bank over there. So I will start doing that. I will start putting all my money in assets. I would probably start buying, I wouldn't do this, but for other people, I would probably start buying food that'll last for a couple months, because as they keep printing more money, the cost of food is going to keep going up. So obviously you want to pay for something today that's less expensive than it's going to be in 6 months. And so, you know, if you look up Weimar Republic, that's in Germany, when they went through this hyperinflation. And it was this thing I was watching yesterday on YouTube was showing that 1 year bread was like I just said, bread was like 9 cents. And then the next year it went up to like 13. Then the next year it went up to like 25, but then the government went through a crisis they had to start printing money. And so they started printing money. So it went from 9, 13 to 25, and then it went to like 325 the next year. And then when that within that year, it went from $325 to $700. And then 5 months later, it went from $700 to $1,200. And then within another like 8 months, it went to like $1.2 million. And then maybe like 3 months later, it was like $10 billion for a loaf of bread. That is insane. That's what hyperinflation is. So it got so crazy in Weimar that they were paying people in like a wheelbarrow. So you got people dumping they're paying employees and they're dumping the money in a wheelbarrow and people just pushing the cart around the city, the wheelbarrow around the city with their money into it. I mean, it got so bad that people started, you know, using their money to burn it to heat the house because the cost of lumber was too expensive. So you was better off burning your money to stay warm than going out here and buying lumber. And so if you go with what I just said, the cost of bread in the U.S. was like, again, man, it might have been 50 cent when I was like five. I think it was like around 50 cent. And it's going up. Like I said, now I paid $7 the other day for a loaf of bread. I mean, it was Ezekiel bread. It was a good bread. But it was still, you know, before that bread was $4. That bread was $4 at the start of 2020. And now it's $7.95. So, I mean, boom, it doesn't really matter if it was a regular bread. I don't buy regular bread, but I mean, if that bread went from four to seven, I'm pretty sure regular bread did the same thing. So, I mean, that went up $3 within a year. So that's what I mean. I mean, I hope you guys are going to the store because that's how they base everything. The government tries to base everything off of the CPI, Consumer Price Index. But they're lying, man. That thing is so wrong. That thing is super wrong because they're saying we're only at, I think, 1.2 inflation rate. That's impossible. If bread went from four to seven, it was like seven something. That how's that 1%? How's that even close to 1%? So I think you guys just need to start paying attention to what you're paying at the grocery store, because that's a good indication of your money just getting, you know, being less and less, worth less and less. So my parents are like, man, you know what? You need to keep some money liquid, because I was just telling them about a house that I just sold and how much money I made. And they were like, man, you need to keep some, because I never have money in the bank. And so they was like, well, how much are you going to leave in the bank this time? And I'm like, I ain't leaving nothing in the bank. And they're like, you need to keep some money in the bank just in case something happens. I said, well, no, that's why I put it in crypto. I mean, if anything happens, I can just sell the crypto and it's an instant. It's an instant. And they were like, oh, man, I'm just saying. I'm like, no, you're not understanding what I'm saying. I said, you don't get it. I said, I know what I'm doing. And so I'm trying to convince my parents to do the same thing because they got money just sitting in cash. And I'm like, it's depreciating, man. So I was like, how about y'all hop on some of these deals with me? So I'm trying to get my parents to do some real estate deals with me because you need to get in something that's going to go up as the government keeps printing money. And obviously that's assets because the smart people know when the government prints money, they have to inflate things in order to get the money back. So you got to, obviously, hard assets are going to go up. That's just how it goes. So I told my parents, like, you know what? I'll put you guys hop in there. So I'm going to do a land deal with my parents. We're going to try to buy like 40 acres and do something with it. And so, you know what I mean? That's what you guys need to be doing. Even in out of the country, it's the same thing is going on in other parts of the world. Like, I was telling my parents the same thing. I saw a avocado grove in Panama City. It was $25,000 at the start of 2020. And now it's at $45,000. So within 1 year, that thing doubled. So it's only going to continue. And this is in Panama. So it's all over, man. It's going all over the place. And even I was in Colombia, you know, my friend in Colombia, like, man, food's getting so expensive here. And I'm like, man, so it's happening all over the world. The governments are just printing money to try to pay off their debts. You know what I mean? It's just crazy out here, man. So never let a good crisis go to waste. I think you guys need to go out here and stop listening to what the government is telling you, because it's all lies, man. You know, they control the narrative, man. And so as long as they can keep people stupid, they can keep doing what they're doing. And so the masses don't know what I'm telling you, and they don't want to know. And then, you know, people are always talking about stay woke. I mean, these people out here in a coma talking about stay woke. The same people that are saying that have no idea. They're so focused on the wrong things, man. And they targeting the wrong people who aren't doing anything. You know what I mean? People that make money are not here doing bad things. Like, I'm not a bad person. I'm just following the blueprint that was already given that anybody can find. Anybody can go to the IRS website, or you don't even have to do that now, man. Google's so strong. You can just type in certain things in Google and it'll give you all the answers. So I think you guys need to take advantage of the next, probably the next 10 years, man. I mean, this stuff ain't going nowhere. Unless they miraculously have a come to Jesus moment in Congress, then this is it. This is going to be the next 10 years. So get into commodities, don't sell anything, and ride the volatility as long as you can. So if you got money that you have tied up in stocks, then you just gonna have to figure out how to make more money. I was telling my parents this same thing. You know, I went through, you put yourself in the negative, not in the negative. You just make yourself broke. Always make yourself broke, because if you do that, you're going to always be coming up with different revenue streams. So, I mean, I'm constantly taking my money and I'm not putting it in my bank because I don't want to touch it. When you have access to your funds, you have the tendency to burn through it. That's just how people are. So you need to make it as hard as possible for you to get to it. Like, I got a couple online accounts, USAA. I don't have to go through them, but I have a bunch of online accounts and it takes like 2 or 3 days for the money to be transferred over. So, I mean, if I got to wait 2 or 3 days to get the funds, do I really need it? So I always make sure that I'm broke all the time, because it just gives me the incentive to go out here and try to figure out another revenue stream. It's always making me constantly want to produce. You have to be a producer if you want to get ahead. Like, I was, again, I'm going to go back to my example with my cousin. I was like, well, if my cousin's only making $200 a week, and she has to pay the IRS, she needs to figure out another way to produce more. So whether that be get a second job, or if she doesn't produce more, she needs to just come up with a business. You know, she lives in Georgia. You can just pay $50 and, you know, form a business, or go out there and become a Avon salesman or a juice salesperson, just whatever. Just become a sole proprietor, because then you can write off everything. So if she doesn't want to go out here and get a second job, she needs to, you know, get a side hustle. She just needs to do something that she can write off her taxes, because the government, again, gives you incentives for just having a business. So if she's not going to be a producer, do a form of LLC and just sell one bottle of juice for the whole year and then write everything off. That's all you got to do. So you got to do one or the other. You can't just have a job and expect to get ahead because you're not doing what the government wants you to do. And the reason why the government has taxes or tax people, I mean, how else can you incentivize a person to do something? The only way you can do it is if you put a gun to their head and the incentive is to keep them alive. If you do something like that, then what do you think that person is going to do? So the government is incentivizing people by taking their money from them not going out here and doing other things to be a productive individual in society. So this is what you guys got to do. It ain't like the system's not rigged. I mean, as much as people want to say it's rigged against people that are making money now, but it wasn't like that before. So as long as you understand all these different things, man, I think you need to go out here and not worry about all the other stuff and just be producers. So again, stay broke, definitely stay woke, in the right way about the right things and not about some of the stuff that's just what the media is pushing to keep you asleep. That's what they're doing, man. It's like it's mind control. They got the entire U.S. brainwashed, and they've been doing it since since we were kids. We were talking, I mean, with religion and like holidays, man. They don't celebrate Valentine's Day in Colombia or Europe. They don't celebrate Easter. You know what I mean? They don't have an Easter bunny. You know what I mean? They celebrate the birth of Jesus and things like that. They don't have all of these random holidays we have in the U.S. And I mean, it's the thing here because that's what people use to make money. Obviously, they're going to push that because they can get that money back to the economy. So you guys got to understand all of these different things. That's why the more you travel, the more you're going to be aware of what's going on in your own country. And it's like, man, this ain't right. So you'll understand what's really going on. And again, they've been having a wool over our eyes for a long time. So I don't think there's another greater feeling than being free. And that comes from knowledge and understanding what's going on. And obviously, you know, being financially independent, because then you can do what you want to do. You don't have to be holding to anybody with anything. So, man, I think you guys just need to, you know, I always talk about it, man. Knowledge is power, but knowledge is power only when it's used. So you guys need to go out here and educate yourself on what's going on and spend some time, you know, learning about economics, because then it'll help you better navigate what's going on now and in the future. Because you can forecast, man, all these things, or you can forecast with all the information that's out here, all the data that you see, you can kind of predict what's going to happen in the future. And you don't have to be a Harvard economist to understand. Once you get the basic principles of economics down, then all the rest of this stuff just falls in line. And like my last thing I'll say, and why I think real estate is going to be huge and it's going to continue to be huge, the government, and you guys can look this up, the government created inelastic demand in all assets by printing money, keeping the supply low. So for instance, with real estate, the prices are going to keep going up. The demand is there and the supply is very low. The supply is very low because the government is intentionally doing this foreclosure memorandum and this eviction memorandum. Because so they're, by doing that, they're forcing the supply to stay low, keeping the demand high and causing the price to go up. The reason why they're doing that is because they're going to raise capital gains tax and they're going to raise other taxes. So obviously, the higher the price goes on other assets when it's time to sell them, you're going to have to pay more in taxes and they're going to be able to recoup that money. So the government's intentionally in creating inelastic demand in all assets, and they're going to increase taxes to make the money back. That's what I mean. So if you guys understand economics, you would know exactly what they're doing. And so that I'll be surprised if they do let these properties come back to the market at the end of June, when the foreclosure stuff is supposed to end. If they continue this through September or through the rest of the year, they're clearly trying to do that because we're in a 4 million home deficit. And there's a bunch of homes that are chilling right now. The government knows exactly what they're doing. So they're forcing people into assets so that they can raise taxes on these particular assets. And now they're trying to increase, I'm sorry, they're trying to introduce unrealized gains tax. So before, you only got taxed when you sold whatever the asset was. So if you had a real estate property and you sold it, they can hit you with the capital gains tax. Now with the unrealized gains tax, say it went from $100,000 to $200,000, they're in. If you don't sell it, they're going to tax you on the $100,000 that you didn't even sell, man. This is what I mean. They're doing it. They're doing it on purpose. So if you understand this, then you'll know how to better navigate. And you'll know, and this is why you've seen in the market took a dip, because they understand the tax reform that the government is trying to do. So understanding this, you want to pull all your money out ahead of time and try to figure out what to do with it before you get hit with these different taxes. So, I mean, they're trying to introduce unrealized gains. So no one's safe. There's nothing you can be safe from. You used to be safe because you can buy something and you didn't get hit until you sold it. So they're trying to get rid of the 1031 exchange. Like I just mentioned earlier, if I had the land plot for $75,000 and then I turn around and I did a 1031 exchange and put that money into another asset, I wouldn't have had to pay. But now they're getting rid of the 1031 exchange. So now I got to pay on that. And if I don't pay on that, then I got to pay on the unrealized gain from the $5,000 to the $75,000 if I don't sell it. What can you do? And now you can understand why someone like myself and someone like you, if you're listening to this podcast, might want to consider going to another country, because it don't make sense. It doesn't matter what you can do. It's going to almost be impossible for you to get ahead. If you even have money, or even if you're in the middle class, it's going to be even harder for you. But just imagine the people that are in the lower class that are in poverty. They keep printing more money, causing the cost of goods to go up. So they're losing. They're doing the stuff that I just said, taking away the 1031 exchange and introducing unrealized gains tax. I mean, what can a person do? There's nothing that you can do. So understand why I'm telling you, they're taking advantage of this crisis to the next level. They're definitely never letting a crisis go to waste. And so, man, I'm telling you guys, if you hear what I'm saying, you need to be trying to come up with a plan to make your exit. Because if you think that it's going to change, it can't change, because they keep printing more money and they're going to have to keep figuring out how to get this money back and pay off their debts. So it's going to continue. So with you guys hearing me out, man, I hope you guys are taking notes and trying to navigate what you're going to do. I mean, because this is just the start. Biden's only been in the office 4 months. This man got 4 more years. So if you think this is going to automatically just all of a sudden disappear, man, you got to be out your mind. So I'm not about to sit here and wait around and see what he's going to do for the next 3 years. I'm good. So I hope you guys are listening to what I'm saying and really understanding what I'm saying and take advantage. And again, man, share this with your friends, man. Sharing is caring. Teamwork make the dream work. So link up with some people that have the same mindset as you, and you guys need to create a mastermind so you can sit down and brainstorm on ideas on what you guys to do to try to navigate this situation together. Go to realestateinvestingdiet.com. I'm always posting different articles on there on what you guys can do to navigate. And I'm going to continue to do that. They come out every 7 or 8 days. You know, keep listening to the podcast, man. Stay tuned in, stay locked in. And sometimes I go on rants like I'm doing right now, but I feel like this is the information that people need to hear. And I think you guys need to tell it to other people. So take care, guys, and go out here and keep expanding your mind. See you on the next podcast.
Aren't you ready to start a business or grow your real estate investing portfolio? If you answered yes, allow Andre and the expert advisors at the Residual Roads Business Institute to fast track and put you on a path to full-time investing. The greatest transfer of wealth in our lifetime is occurring over the next few years, and you can take advantage if you know what to look for. In order to be successful at real estate investing, you need to learn how to leverage your current resources to generate quick money, big money, and retirement money. Let Residual Roads advisors craft a plan to get you through these phases using little or no money in 6 months or less. Don't wait for a job. Create one for yourself and others. Go to residualroads.com for mentorship, and for our free course, go to residualroads.thinkific.com.